The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, before we get started, I did want to just give you a programming note that there will not be a show this coming Friday or on Monday because I will be in Phoenix recording some new music. So the next show will be next Wednesday, November 12th. So just don't expect any two shows coming up. So let's get right into that shitty Monday night football game between the Arizona Cardinals and the Dallas Cowboys. Well, it was shitty if you were a Cowboys fan. If you were an Arizona Cardinals fan, the five of you out there, well, you had a great time. You enjoyed that game because they kicked the crap out of the Cowboys. It was probably one of the worst games from the Cowboys this season just overall because even the offense looked ineffective. But the Arizona Cardinals, they took it to them 27-17. Jacoby Brissett, he stepped right in this quarterback role and has really overtaken this offense for the Arizona Cardinals, and they look pretty solid with him at quarterback. He went 21 for 31, 261 yards and two touchdowns. And Marvin Harrison Jr., of course, had probably his best game of the season, of course, against the Cowboys with 96 yards and a touchdown. And just overall solid game from the Cardinals and a terrible game from the Cowboys. So let's get right into the top 10 NFL power rankings for this week. And we do have another new number one because, you know, some of these teams just keep on losing. But number one this week, I've decided to put the Buffalo Bills back up at number one. They're 6-2 on the season, but also they have some of the best quality wins. I mean, they just took out the Chiefs. They've taken out the Ravens, and they just have overall played probably the most consistent football and just look really good. Even beyond just Josh Allen, Cook is having his best season so far of his career. He's got 867 yards on the season and seven touchdowns. And defensively, this team is playing really well. I mean, they just did not let Patrick Mahomes run all over them. And really, it was kind of the same thing with Lamar Jackson, too. So they've really grown as a defense, you could tell. And I just kind of feel like right now, they are the overall best team in the league. Then at number two on my top 10 NFL power rankings, no change this week, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and that's because they were on a bye. They're 6-2 on the season, and, you know, really just nothing to say because they're coming off of a bye week, but still one of the best teams in the league. Baker Mayfield having a fantastic year, and the defense just getting better with each and every game, and Buccaneers couldn't drop them because there was no reason to. Then at number three on my top 10 NFL power rankings are the Philadelphia Eagles. They're 6-2 on the season, and they are also coming off of a bye week. They also made a couple of trades this past week, so they're just ever improving this team just basically on a daily basis. It doesn't matter that they've won a championship. They still keep making moves, but still looking good and still obviously the best. They should easily win this division because ain't nobody else in this division even comes close to the Eagles right now. Then at number four on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Indianapolis Colts, overall record of 7-2. And like I said, Jonathan Taylor, that's who this team goes through. And last week he did not have a good game and they ended up losing. So that just goes to show he is obviously the MVP, not only for this team, but he should be for the league, but they're not going to do that. He of course still leads the league with 895 rushing yards and he has 12 touchdowns on the season and just continues his flawless season. And the Colts also made a big move at the trade deadline by trading for a cornerback, Sauce Gardner. And I mean, this is already a solid defense. They really just needed help in the secondary, and now they got that help in the secondary. Then at number five on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Detroit Lions, overall record of 5-3. And my biggest thing with this team is their secondary. And on the defense, they just keep getting blown up in the secondary. I mean, overall, they're killers on the offensive line. They're killers on the defensive line. Great linebacking core, very talented offense just overall. They could score you out of the building. But the problem is they're not really they're getting blown up as well. And that's cost them in the three losses that they've had. But still, they're one of the top teams in the league. And I kind of feel like it's going to be real difficult for most teams to keep up with them offensively regardless. Then at number six on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Green Bay Packers, overall record of 5-2-1. And just my thing with this team is they're very inconsistent so far. I mean, their two losses have been to terrible teams. They lost to the Browns and, oh my God, I'm brain farting on who they just lost to this past, the Panthers. They lost to the Panthers. And so it's like they're losing to teams like that. And then they tied the Cowboys as well. And so it's just like, they have this very inconsistent team, especially on the offensive side of the ball. I think it's mostly because Jordan Love he's playing phenomenal. It's just he doesn't really have anybody besides Tucker Kraft, who now is unfortunately out for the rest of the season. So he doesn't really have a star receiver out there really making any big plays. And I kind of feel like that's the deal with this offense is sometimes they start too slow. In the two losses plus that tie, all three of those games, they pretty much started out slow. And that's kind of what caught them in the mud and really cost them in those three games. But overall, I mean, they're still one of the best teams in the league. As long as Jordan Love keeps playing at a high level and the defense looks really good as well. As long as they keep playing that well, they should keep pace, especially with Detroit. But I don't know if they're really a legit Super Bowl contender. Then at number seven on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Los Angeles Rams, overall record of 6-2, and Matthew Stafford, it feels like this last month he has just been on fire. I mean, this entire season has been great for him, but this last month he's just been playing basically perfect football. Right now he's got 2,147 passing yards, 21 touchdowns, which leads the league, and only two interceptions. So not only is he playing just lights out football, but he's not turning the ball over at all. It definitely helps having both Puka Nacua and Davante Adams, two of the top tier receivers in the league. But he's definitely getting them the ball and distributing it at a high level and just really playing some great, great football. And then defensively, I really like what I see from the Rams. They seem to be getting stronger each and every game. They're causing a lot of turnovers, getting at the quarterback. And this is a tough division for them, though. So they got to keep getting these wins. And if they don't, any one loss is going to cost you this division. Then at number eight on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Seattle Seahawks, overall record of 6-2, and Sam Darnold, you know, I guess dude's for real. You know, he's been around the block. It kind of feels like he's been with a new team, for the last 4 or 5 years. And he did, he had his best season last year. And I kind of feel like a lot of us, myself included, felt like that was going to be it for him. But so far, he's really just taken care of business for the Seattle Seahawks on the offensive side of the ball. He still has had a couple of issues with turnovers, but for the most part, he's really just lighting up every defense that he sees. And right now, he's got 2,084 yards passing, 16 touchdowns, and 5 interceptions. So it's the interceptions that have been a big deal for him. But overall, I mean, he's really just been lighting it up and really playing some very, very solid football. And then also their defense. Their defense really gets at the quarterback. Their front seven is just ain't nothing to fuck with, that's for sure. And so I really like what I see from Seattle. And like I said, it's the same thing with them and the Rams. I kind of feel like those two are going to be battling it out for the division. And then you also have the Niners lurking there. But I just feel like the Rams and the Seahawks are much more healthy and play much more consistent football right now than the Niners. So I just think it's going to be a battle between those two. And I kind of feel like any loss is going to be a big deal for either one of those teams. Then at number nine on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the New England Patriots, overall record of 7-2. And Drake May, he just gets better every single game. He has 2,285 yards passing, 17 touchdowns, and only 4 interceptions on the season. And, you know, he doesn't really have, I mean, yes, he's got Diggs, who's a solid receiver, but Diggs is not what he used to be, like when he was with Buffalo and Minnesota in his heyday. I mean, he's missed some games already this season. So Drake May's really just been distributing the ball and really been the driving force offensively. But defensively, this New England Patriots defense is just stout. They are getting turnovers. They're getting at the quarterback. And they are just making it real difficult for every offense that faces off against them. And then rounding out the top 10 NFL power rankings this week, have the Pittsburgh Steelers. Overall record of 5-3, and it's really just because the defense is finally looking like the Pittsburgh Steelers defense. I mean, they had 6 turnovers last week, and I mean, it was suffocating defense on Daniel Jones, and they really took care of business on the best running back in the league, at least right now, the league-leading rusher, Jonathan Taylor. They held him in check, and so if they keep playing like that, and the offense is just able to keep it moving, because obviously the offense is not lighting anybody up. But Aaron Rodgers is able to distribute the ball, and you just give him a little bit of time. And I mean, he's delivering the ball with precision. It's really just a lot of his receivers are dropping the ball, which is the problem. So that's been a problem. And then, of course, the offensive line has been a problem as well. But if the defense keeps playing well and setting the offense up in good field position, and then, of course, they've got a great kicker as well who just keeps them in the game, and at least gets you're in scoring position if you get to around the 40-yard marker. So I just feel like the Steelers are just getting better with each and every game. And I know a lot of people are trying to think that the Ravens are going to suddenly overtake the Steelers, and I just don't really see it. I kind of feel like the Ravens have a really, really deep hole to dig out of, and it's not that they can't because they do have a lot of talent. But this Steelers team doesn't look like it's on shaky ground. I know a lot of people think they are, but I just kind of feel like they actually have been getting better every week rather than regressing. All right, so since I'm not going to be here for a Friday show, I'm just going to go ahead and knock out my Week 10 predictions for the week as well, and just preview all the games that we have coming up for the week. And also my head-to-head matchup between the homie Simon Ruvalcaba and myself. Well, he actually tied it up last week. I went 8-6, and he went 11-3. And so we are all tied up at 86-48 on the season right now. I do not have his picks yet for any of the games for this week, but we are all tied up at the midway point of the season, which is just crazy to say that it's the midway point of the season. It just always flies by, but here we are. So let's get into our Thursday night football matchup. It is the Las Vegas Raiders at the Denver Broncos. Right now, the Broncos are a 9.5-point favorite, and Vegas is just not a good team at all. They have their moments, but for the most part, they just are bad on every single level, whereas Denver, they're great defensively, and offensively, they have their moments as well, but I just kind of feel like this is going to be a very easy game for the Broncos just because I feel like their defense is going to just suffocate Geno Smith, and I wouldn't be shocked since Geno Smith had 4 touchdowns in the last game. I wouldn't be shocked if he had 4 interceptions in this game. So I just kind of feel like the Denver defense is going to take care of business and either score some points or just set the offense up in great field position to get some scores. So I have the Denver Broncos winning 27-14. Then on Sunday, we have yet another international game. This time we are going to be in Berlin, Germany, the first time they've ever been to Berlin. We've got the Atlanta Falcons versus the Indianapolis Colts. Right now, the Colts are a 5.5-point favorite, and this game actually looks a lot better than I thought it was going to be to start the season, because you just had no idea where the Colts were going to be, and I thought the Falcons were going to be terrible. But this game could actually end up being a pretty decent game. With that being said, this is going to be a matchup between 2 excellent running backs who are just liable to just run off chunk plays at any given time. Between Bijan Robinson on the Falcons and Jonathan Taylor on the Colts. So don't be shocked if you see either of those guys just bust off a 50-yarder for a touchdown or something of that nature. But I definitely feel like the Colts are the better team. The Colts are a legit team. Definitely at the midway point, they look like they're rocking and rolling and really having no issues, even though they lost last week, whereas the Falcons have zero identity. They're able to score some points. And Michael Penix Jr., he kind of feels like he's getting more acclimated to this offense as things go on. But I've got the Colts winning this one pretty easily, 41-21. Then we have the New York Giants at the Chicago Bears. Right now the Bears are a 3.5-point favorite, and the Giants are just terrible. And the Bears, they've had their moments. You could tell that they've had their growing pains, but you could just see where they're headed. Definitely, I kind of felt like that's how the season was going to go, because for one, it's a first-year coach, so they've got to get used to the style of offense. But you could tell he likes to do all these trick plays, and a lot of these trick plays are actually working out with the quarterback that he has and with some of the key players that they have. I kind of feel like the Bears are maybe like 1 or 2 offensive players away from being a really good team. And then the Giants, they're just bad. So I just kind of feel like this isn't going to be a runaway for the Bears, but I kind of feel like the Bears are going to have the lead the whole way. And their defense, I feel like, is going to take care of business because their Chicago Bears defense is really solid. So I've got the Bears winning this one 20-17. Then we have the Buffalo Bills at the Miami Dolphins. Right now, the Bills are a 9.5-point favorite, and the Dolphins are just terrible. There is nothing good to say about this team, whereas the Bills are obviously a Super Bowl contender, and I just kind of feel like the Bills are going to roll in this one 30-10. Then we have the Baltimore Ravens at the Minnesota Vikings. Right now, the Ravens are a 3.5-point favorite. The Vikings, they haven't really found an identity yet this season. I mean, it's been rotating quarterback just due to all the injuries that they've suffered this season. So I feel like that's played a huge role. Defensively, they look great. And then, of course, the Ravens have also had all their injury issues as well. But it kind of feels like these last couple of games for the Ravens, they've been getting in order and kind of starting to look like the Ravens of old. With that being said, I still think this is going to be a close game. I wouldn't be shocked if it's kind of a battle between two really solid defenses with Lamar Jackson just being the difference in this game. And I do have the Ravens winning this one 28-21. Then we have the Cleveland Browns at the New York Jets. And right now the Jets are a 1.5-point favorite. The Jets pretty much sold off all their good players for the most part on this team. And I mean, this game was going to be the two worst teams in the league playing anyways, regardless of what all the trades that they made. Hell, the Browns even made some trades this week as well, traded away some good players. So this is going to be the garbage can bowl. And I just kind of feel like since it's the garbage can bowl, they deserve a garbage can type of score. I feel like this is going to be a really ugly game. Wouldn't be shocked if it's just dominated by defense. Maybe Myles Garrett's just going to make the game-changing play, like block a field goal or something of that nature. Maybe run back a forced fumble, something like that. But I feel like I'm just leaning towards the Browns because they actually have a really solid defense where the Jets, it's who knows what's going on with this team. So I've got the Browns winning 14-12. Then we have the New England Patriots at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Right now, the Buccaneers are a 2.5-point favorite. I think the Patriots, they're playing really solid football, but I still think they're going to struggle against teams like the Buccaneers because I think the Buccaneers are for real. I think the Buccaneers defense is really going to key in on Drake May, and it's probably not going to be as easy as it's been for him for a good chunk of this season. I also think Baker Mayfield's just going to come right out and really have a solid game. They're coming off of a bye week and well-rested and just ready to go. So I've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers winning this one 30-21. Then we have the New Orleans Saints at the Carolina Panthers. Right now, the Panthers are a 5.5-point favorite. The Saints are obviously one of the worst teams in the league. There's nothing going on at quarterback for them. There's really nothing going on at them at all for them. Whereas the Panthers, they've actually been in pretty much every single game they've played this season. And I think defensively, they're going to have a field day and set their offense up in good field position. And I've got the Panthers winning this one 24-10. Then we have the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Houston Texans. Right now, the Texans are a 1.5-point favorite. C.J. Stroud is not expected to play in this one due to the concussion. But even if he was going to play in this one, I kind of felt like this was going to be a battle that Jacksonville was going to win because I do think Jacksonville overall is the better team. They look like they're playing better football right now, whereas Houston offensively has been trash. Defensively, they are excellent where they usually are. But offensively, even with C.J. Stroud in there, their offensive line is terrible. They have no ground attack. And now I kind of feel like with no C.J. Stroud in, that gives them no spark at all offensively. Jacksonville, not really that explosive on offense themselves. So I feel like this is going to be a defensive battle. But I've got Jacksonville winning 21-13. Then the afternoon games, we have the Arizona Cardinals at the Seattle Seahawks. Right now, the Seahawks are a 7.5-point favorite. Cardinals just announced today that they're going to put Kyler Murray on the injured reserve. So he's already missed 3 games. He's going to miss 4 more games. I kind of feel like just Jacoby Brissett playing really well in these 3 games, especially this last game. But, I mean, he's been solid in all 3 starts so far. So you might as well just keep playing him and not risk any more injury to Kyler Murray because it's obvious that this team's really going nowhere. Offensively, they have really nothing going on, and defensively, they're not bad, but they're not great either. And I kind of feel like they're going to run into a buzzsaw this week because I feel like Seattle is clicking on all cylinders, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And defensively, I just kind of feel like they're going to take care of business, and I think Seattle's going to roll 40-17. Then we have the Los Angeles Rams at the San Francisco 49ers. Right now, the Rams are a 3.5-point favorite, and usually this is a great matchup. And I feel like it is going to be a great matchup no matter what goes on with the Niners. I mean, they've got so many injuries. It just kind of feels like the Niners are just chugging along this season. And yeah, they're playing competitive football, but there's no way I look at this Niners team and go, this is a Super Bowl-bound team. Whereas the Rams, I actually do think they have Super Bowl goals. The Rams' offense is much more better, are just much more solid, and I just feel like they have much more of an identity on the defensive side of the ball as well. I just kind of feel like the Rams are going to make the more of the key plays at the key moments more so than the Niners will. And so I've got the Rams winning this one 24-20. Then we have the Detroit Lions at the Washington Commanders. Right now the Lions are an 8.5-point favorite. And Washington, it looks like, obviously no Jaden Daniels in this one. So Marcus Mariota is going to start in this one. Just offensively, this team has been terrible. And defensively just has not looked like a Dan Quinn-led defense. It's just been a really, really weird year, in my opinion, from Washington. Obviously, the injuries have not helped, but it's just they just haven't found any type of identity. Whereas the Detroit Lions obviously can score a lot of points. Like I said, just their only weakness is their secondary, and that's really just mostly due to the injuries that they've suffered as well. But with that being said, I just kind of feel like Detroit's coming off of a loss, and I just feel like this is a good get-right game for the Lions. So I've got Detroit winning this one 31-17. Then the Sunday night football matchup is the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Los Angeles Chargers. Right now the Chargers are a 3.5-point favorite, but the Chargers haven't played any consistent football themselves this year, whereas the Steelers, they feel like they're getting better every single week, and even though they've had their issues, it kind of feels like they're able to shore up their issues much easier than other teams, especially the Chargers. I mean, like I said, the Chargers haven't really shown any type of identity whatsoever this year. They haven't really dominated a game. They haven't, they've had some good games and they're in it, of course, but I just don't look at them and go, they're really going to compete once the playoffs roll around. And now that they've suffered another injury to the offensive line, I just kind of feel like this is not going to be a fun game for Justin Herbert. I actually kind of feel like this is going to be a Pittsburgh-led defensive-type game. Wouldn't be shocked if they have a bunch more turnovers, and I wouldn't be shocked if they're the reason why they win this game. I've got the Pittsburgh Steelers winning 20-17. And then the Monday Night Football matchup is the Philadelphia Eagles at the Green Bay Packers. Right now, the Packers are a 2.5-point favorite. The Eagles are coming off of a bye week, and I just kind of feel like they're just ready to go. They've been playing really, really solid football this year, basically mimicking what they did last year. They've won in many different ways, and sometimes it's ugly and sometimes it's great, but a win is a win, and they are the defending champs, and it doesn't matter to me, whereas Green Bay hasn't played any consistent football to me. They've had their moments on offense, and they do have a really solid defense, and I do think their defense is going to make a difference in this game, because I do think it's going to be a close matchup, but I just think the Eagles are the better team. I think the Eagles have the better playmakers, especially on the offensive side of the ball, and that's where I think the edge is going to be. I wouldn't be shocked if Jalen Hurts just makes the big game-changing play towards the end, or maybe like an A.J. Brown breakaway touchdown where he just runs it, breaks it off for like 40 yards, something like that. But I've got the Eagles in this one 23-21 simply because I think they're the better team and they're going to make the bigger plays in the key moments. All right, and moving on to our first rankings of the season for the college football playoff. And they're very interesting right now, but things are going to get shaken up this next month. But these are the first college football playoff. If the playoff were to start today, these are the 10 teams that we would have facing off against each other. Number one is, of course, Ohio State. They're 8-0 on the season. They've been number one every single week, so they got to remain number one. Then at number two, we have Indiana. They're 9-0 on the season. Number three, Texas A&M, who's 8-0 on the season. And they will actually be at number 19, Missouri, this week. So they have another headbanger and potential game-changing type record. If they lose this one, that'll be a big deal. But if they win, it just kind of even bolsters their resume that much more. Then at number four, we have Alabama at 7-1. Number five, Georgia at 7-1. Number six, Ole Miss at 8-1. Number seven, BYU at 8-0. And number eight, Texas Tech at 8-1. And both BYU and Texas Tech will actually be playing each other this week. So that could have some, that will definitely have some type of defining factor for this college football playoff at some point. depending on who wins that one. Then at number 9, we have Oregon at 7-1. And then rounding out the college football playoff at number 10, we have Notre Dame at 6-2. So that's how the college football playoff is shaping up right now. But of course, you know, there's going to be a month left of football. There's going to be some headbangers. There's going to be some good matchups. Like I said, we've already got BYU facing off against Texas Tech this weekend. So that's definitely going to have some repercussions on whoever loses that one. All right, y'all, enjoy the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools next Wednesday.